This is Brother Billy. I'll say good morning to each one of you and pray the word of God's going to bless you today as we look into the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. As they sing in the song, "Here I Am, Lord," and I wonder, could you sing that song today? Could you say it of a truth that you're ready to be used of God? You're ready for God's call to be upon your life? You're ready for the Lord to put His hands upon you and use you in a mighty way? That's what God desires. That's what salvation is. It's taking our life and giving it to God that He might can use it and get glory out of it, that He can promote His gospel with it, that He can see the lost saved through our lives. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Galatians 2:20. He said, "What is my life? My life is a life that's crucified with the Lord Jesus." And so until we're crucified in Christ, with Christ, our life cannot be fruitful as it ought to be. As long as we live unto ourselves, we cannot live unto God. But God's plan is that we live unto Him. And I pray that's where you want to be today. You want to be usable unto the Lord. That's the title of the song. God, make us usable unto you. That's His precious will. The 13th chapter, I want to begin reading. As we turn it down here, I want you to watch this in the 22nd verse. The 22nd verse of Luke 13. Watch now as we see it here. And He, talking about Jesus, went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said unto Him, "Lord," then said one unto Him, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And He said unto them, watch this 24th verse. Remember the question, "Are there few that be saved?" And Jesus said, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us,' and He shall answer and say unto you, 'I know ye not whence ye are.' Then shall ye begin to say, 'We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in our streets.'" Do you see what they're doing? They're reminding the Lord how familiar they are with Him. There's some familiarity here, Lord. But He shall say, watch verse 27. "I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." Father, take the reading of the word today and speak it to hearts. God, illuminate us. God, speak to us. Strengthen us. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see. God, give us ears to hear with, and may the word of God burn in our heart. God, burn it in the life of every believer. God, burn it in the heart of every preacher, and inspire them, O God. Fortify them. Strengthen them, God, to go to the flock today and speak the word of God, and speak it with truth. God, speak it with power. Speak it with grace and with glory. God, I pray you'd be upon every God-anointed preacher today, Father, to declare your word. God, inspire them, empower them. Father, they're your messengers, Lord. Be upon them. I pray you'd strengthen every saint, God, no matter how young or old. I pray today, Father, take the word and speak it to the lost. God, there are lost people today that must be saved. They need to be saved, God, and I pray you will do a saving work in every heart. Somebody traveling through that found the broadcast today, and God, you're going to speak to them through your word. I pray you'd get glory out of it all. Father, do it now. Encourage the discouraged, Lord. So much discouragement today. I pray, God, you'd fortify that saint, Lord, that somewhere, God, their heart's been broke. Lord, maybe they lost a loved one. They're highly discouraged, God, and they need a touch from the Savior. Lord, you are light, and you are truth. truth. And God, you are our fortress and shield. God, you're our buckler. Oh, God, you're our strength. And we praise you for that. Do it now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Luke, the 13th chapter, if you come along late, here's where we're looking. End of the 24th verse, the key verse. And 23 was where the disciples asked the question. He went through the cities and journeying and teaching toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few, F-E-W, that be saved? And he said unto them, Jesus never gave them a yes or no answer. Jesus gave them an answer that contained, five or six verses right here in Luke 13. But he began his answer by saying, strive to enter in at the straight gate. He said, strive. Why come? Why do we strive? People said, preacher, I like things to come easy my way. I don't really like to put forth a lot of effort, but Jesus emphasized this matter of striving to enter in. It's seeking the Lord. People said, preacher, I'm going to go do my thing, and if God saves me, he saves me. And if he don't, he don't. That's not what he said. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, the straight gate was brought to our attention back in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus said it in verses 13 and 14. He said, straight is a gate, and narrow is a way which leadeth unto life. And few, F-E-W, there's that word again. Go back and see it. We're not going to take time to flip there, but Matthew 7, 13, 14, you'll find it, where he talked about the straight gate, and he talked about the wide gate. And here he said, straight's the gate, and narrow's the way which leadeth unto life. And how many find it? Few, F-E-W. Well, here's the word again. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For I say many will seek to enter in. How many? Many. Jesus said there's going to be a lot of people that seek to enter in at the straight gate and shall not be able. Now, this is going to rock some of your world, because what people do today, they say, preacher, I'll get ready when I get ready. I'll get right when I get ready. I'll do that. That seems to be the thing we do right there at our last dying moment. I'm going to live for today. I'm going to kick up my heels. I'm going to shake my fist in the face of God. I'm going to drink my booze, smoke my dope, run with my women, chase the men. I'm going to do it all, preacher, and nobody's going to stop me. I'm my own free man, and I do it like I want to. And so here, what did Jesus say? He said, I say that many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You know what it emphasizes? This emphasizes the great truth that Jonah found out in the belly of the whale when he said, from the belly of hell I cried. He wasn't literally in hell, but in his mind he was in hell. In his heart he was in hell. You know why? Because there he was in the belly of the great fish. And Matthew 12:40 said it was a whale. And Jesus said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days. He said, preacher, I never bought into that Jonah story, because, I don't know where the book of Jonah come from. Well, what about Jesus? Jesus said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly, I love this. I love the fact that the New Testament, it verifies the Old Testament. That blesses me good. Jesus said Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights. And not only do we know he was there, we know how long he was there. And Jesus said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, even so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And so here we find him, that Jonah, no wonder he said, from the belly of hell I cried. Can you imagine a full 72 hours in the belly of a whale? He said, the seaweed compassed me, it wrapped around me, and he cried unto the Lord, and God heard his cry. And so what happened? Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Salvation's of God. Salvation's what God does. If God don't save you, you won't be saved. And so what's my part in salvation, preacher? If I can't save myself, what's my part? We're to seek the Lord until until we find him. We're to seek him. I like this over in Isaiah 55 where he deals with this so clearly, where he said something about this in the 6th verse. Seek ye the Lord, that ye may be found of him. Seek him while he's near. And so what do? We seek God. And here we find him. We strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now watch now. This does not confuse works for salvation. We do not strive to earn salvation. We strive to enter in at the straight gate that we might find mercy in the sight of God and receive salvation. And so here, people said, preacher, I do all of these things. And I wonder why God saves some people and some people he doesn't. Does anybody deserve it? No. Does anybody inherit it? Absolutely not. But Jesus said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And that's the striving that he's talking about. And so we're seeking him. We're searching for him. And so here, go down a little bit and you'll see this. Jesus made it very clear. There is going to be a day in the 25th verse when the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door. When he shuts the door, it's too late. When he shuts the door, what are people going to begin to do? He explained it in verse 25. They're going to begin to stand without. That's right, outside. You don't want to be on the outside looking in. You want to see a parable, or not a parable, but a likening to this? Watch it in the life of Noah. When God put Noah and 2 of every kind of unclean beast and 7 of every kind of clean beast. Doesn't that amaze you that God even separated the clean and the unclean among the animals? And so 2 of every kind, unclean. 7 of every kind that were clean. And then he called Noah into the ark. And it was Noah and his wife and his 3 boys and their wives. There were no grandchildren. We got it from the book of Peter. There were how many souls? 8 souls in the ark. That's all there were. There were not some underneath. There were not some in the bottom. There were not mangaloids. There were not anything but Noah and his family. And so Noah got his family in, and Jesus compared this as to when the door was shut on the ark. But we've got to stay with the truth of the gospel. And Jesus said, when once the master of the house hath risen up, watch now, the master's risen up and has shut to the door. And I'm going to show you this in the book of Genesis. And we're not going to take time. You can go back and see it. But it's right there in the Word of God. When God began to bring Noah into the ark, the Word said that God shut him in. Who shut the door? God did. If Noah would have shut it, Noah could have opened it. But Noah didn't shut it. God shut it. And not only did he shut it, but he sealed it. I tell you, the bleeding heart of one Noah, as he listened to men drown in their own destruction, as he heard the cries of the babies and the women, Noah would have opened the door, but he didn't shut the door. And so what do we find here? That here, the goodman, the master of the house, he has shut to the door, and what's going to happen? You shall begin to stand without and to knock. You don't think there was some knocking on the side of the ark? You don't think there were people screaming, Noah, you know me, son, open the door. Noah, we were neighbors for a long time. Open the door, Noah, it's my wife. Open the door, Noah, it's my daughter. God shut him in. And Jesus said that the master of the house shall shut to the door, and ye began to stand without. It's going to happen to some of you. Breaks my heart to say it, but there's some of you going to leave this world. You're listening to preaching today. God has spoke to you by his word today, and you'll leave this world lost, and you'll wake up in the eternal flame, and that breaks my heart, but it's so, and you know it's so, and every believer out there knows there are people that we love that are going to leave lost, and they said, how many, Lord, shall be saved? And Jesus said, few strive to enter in. He said, for many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. And I'm going to show you something over the 14th chapter of why some of these people shall not be able. Let's take a moment here, slow up, and clarify this truth. Now we see it back in the Word of God. Jesus gave his life that all mankind should be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-double-L. This is the word Peter used over in 2 Peter 3:9. He said the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. And he said the Lord's long-suffering, and he's not willing that any should perish. Jesus died on a bloody cross, not that a few folks could be saved. Oh, you said, preacher, he said few shall be saved. That's right, but he didn't die that few be saved. He just knows the truth that few will be saved. And so he died for all mankind. He died that every man, woman, boy, or girl could go to heaven. He died that the chain and the yoke of sin could be broke off of our lives. That's why Christ died. He died for the sin of the world. He died that all shall come. And Jesus clarified this in the 6th chapter of the book of John. He said, and whosoever will, let him come. He says it again over the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. And we find it here in the 13th, the 17th verse. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever hears, let him come. And let him that will come and take of the water of life freely. The call is to come. You want to talk about the door? Jesus said something about the door in Revelation 3:20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Where's he knocking, preacher? He's knocking on the heart door of every man, woman, boy, or girl. He does it through his word. He does it week after week, day after day. Christ calls sinners by his word. You know where I heard the call of God? I heard it through the word, through the preaching of the word. And so God's calling some today, and some of you will come, and some of you won't come. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man and hear my voice. Watch now. You said, preacher, I just don't think, you know, sometimes people do this, and I'm going to tell you the devil will encourage you to do this, but it's not God's will you do it. Sometimes people say, preacher, I just don't think I'm one of God's elect. And somebody told me way back there that if I'm not one of God's elect, I can't be saved. Might as well give up. That's not what Jesus said. Quit listening to people that don't know what the Bible said and began to listen to the Word of God. Jesus said it. Look it up and see if it's so. Revelation 3:20. I give it to you verbatim, word for word, Word of God, black, white, red, white, chapter and verse, where you, sir, can stop what you're doing and look it up. See it for yourself. Let God speak it to you through His precious Word. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice. And you said, I'm going to tell you, whatever somebody told you back down the road does not matter. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, that's man, woman, boy, or girl. If they hear my voice and open the door, what door, preacher? Noah's door? No, that ark's gone, brother. That gopher wood and Chittim wood has rotted. We're not talking about that door. That door's gone. We're talking about the door of your heart. We're talking about the door Jesus is talking about right here. And so he said this, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me. You know what that is, brother? That is salvation by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. The only thing that allows me to sup, that's fellowship, sir. Oh, the only thing that allows me to commune with my Lord, it's sweet grace that saves me. And Jesus said, I'll come into him. Did you see that? I will come into him. Where? Into his heart. I'll save him by my grace. I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me. What a thrill. Revelation 3:20. Now Jesus dealt with this, and I told you we're going to go over to the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter, and show you why some men will not be saved. And this is going to pertain to some of you. I understand you said, preacher, I work a busy schedule. I don't have time. I understand that. Let's look at the 14th chapter, and let's just see how many things we say is going to hold up. How many things is going to hold up? Now listen, there's one thing we know. Every dead person laying in a graveyard today, every dead person laying at sea, every dead person we can't find their ashes. I think about 9/11, and how many of those 2,900 plus people died. Their lives were lost. Many of those, there's nothing to be found. ground. We can't find one ash of their remains. But how many of those, have met God at the judgment? Every one of them. I like this passage. It's a very sobering passage. Over in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So how many's been to the judgment? Everyone. Everyone Jesus we're going to read about right here in Luke 14. How many of them's been to the judgment? Everyone. How many of those that said, away with him, away with him, crucify him? How many of those been to the judgment? Everyone. Everyone in the graveyard. Everyone. Here, watch now. And so what do we find? We find that what people say, we see it in the Word of God. Our excuses will not hold water. The most important thing on your agenda, you know, we all got our agenda. We got our long-term plans. We got our medium-range goals. We got our short-term goals. So they say that's what you're supposed to do, right? And people say that's what you're supposed to do. So, you know, you write these lists out. And some of you got your bucket list. And some of you got all of these things. And you can't honor God with your life because all this stuff's much more important, right? I'm using a little satire to get your attention. And so it's not important. The most important thing in your life, A number one, is getting right with God, being saved through Christ. If you don't know him, know him. If you're not acquainted with him, meet him. And so if you're not saved, get saved. You said, preacher, how do I get saved? Well, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Jesus said, come. You like another passage? What about Matthew 11:28? Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. And so we find it. Jesus, the call is come, come, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come. That's you, sir. And Christ has called you. He's called you. Watch now. See this. 14:16, the same book of Luke. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Now this speaks of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we don't have time to get in and explain that. We'll do that in another sermon. But watch this. He made a great supper, and he invited, he bid those, he bade them, he bade many to come. He invited them to come. Christ has invited you to come. He's invited the whole world to be saved. He died for the whole world. And so here, we sent his servants to supper time to say to them that were bidden. And so it's supper time, and Jesus sent his servants out, and he said, come, for all things are now ready. Do you see the call? The call is for you to come to Christ, and for all things are now ready. A preacher that will not preach the call that all men should come to Christ has missed his calling, and that is to preach the gospel. And they are. And I'm going to show you. Why is it, though, that many will not be saved? Now, Jesus said this. It's not Brother Billy. Jesus said this, strive to enter into the straight gate. We're going back to the core verse of 24. He said, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why is that so? Well, watch what happened in the 18th verse. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. That first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. And so he said, I bought some land, and I need to go look at them land lines, Lord. I need to go find them fences. I need to go make sure that all those corner stops, that's what we'd say, make sure those corner stops are in place. Found some land and bought it, and I must needs go and see it, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. Find some nice oxen cattle, Lord. Had a deal cut and turned down, and I bought them. Oh, they're the best looking 5 yoke you ever saw. And I must needs go and see them. I pray thee, have me excused. Do you see it? Do you see where we're going here? Now you put yourself in these folks' shoes. Those of you that can't find time to go seek the Lord. Those of you that can't find time for his word. Can't find time for his house. You said, preacher, it seemed pretty valid to me. Well, all of theirs seems pretty valid to them. Watch now. I would title this message, if I was going to title it, I'd title it Two Fools and a Henpecked Husband, because this really is what we're dealing with. Watch now. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I don't know if he couldn't get permission. I don't know what the problem was. I don't know if this family set up wrong, and he's asking her what to do. Listen, I don't want to get too involved for the sake of time. We can't do it. But I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the Word of God relationship in the marriage, where the man's the man and the woman's proud of him, where the man's the leader of the home. He's not the follower, he's the leader. And so here, God gave him authority, and that authority is not to be usurped in a wrong way, it's to be usurped in the right way. And here we find it that Isaiah 12:3 dealt with this, 3:12, I like 12:3 too, but I'm talking about 3:12 right now, where God said, as for my people, he said, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. He said, that's the problem with my people. And so what's wrong? Listen, everybody in their proper place. And this man said, Lord, I married a wife, and I can't come. And so now he's found himself doing what his wife says, or either he is so overwhelmed with his wife, he's not interested in what Jesus said. God, give us grace to get the family home back in the proper perspective. God, we need that today. And so he said, I married a wife, can't come. And so what do we got? We got two fools. One said, I got to go look at my land. One said, I got to go prove my oxen. That's two fools, so that's very foolish. And we got a henpecked husband that says, I married a wife and I cannot come. I'm going to tell you, sir, listen, you want to be the man God's called you to be? You be the spiritual leader of your home. You be the spiritual leader. And you said, preacher, my wife won't follow. That's okay. God didn't command you to make her to follow. God commanded you to be the spiritual leader of your home. Do that that's right. Set the example. Lead by example. Love her even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And what you will find is God will do great exploits on your behalf. Why? Because when the man does what he needs to do, how many times have we seen it? And when so many times small churches, country churches, the women are the faithful ones that keep the doors open. The women are the faithful ones that bring the children. The husband's nowhere to be found. The husband, you can't find him, can't drag him to church. Might get him down there when it's time to eat. But that's about all you can expect for so many men that will not be the leaders. And some of you today are hearing this message. God's called you to be the leader, the spiritual leader of your home. Not just to make a living. That's your job too. Not just to be the disciplinarian of your family. That's your job too. Quit leaving that to your wife. Quit being spineless about the call God put on your life. Quit being a little mama's boy and be the man God's called you to be. And so if this man does what God's called him, he said, I married a wife and bless God, I'm coming to that supper. And if my wife don't come, she can wait for me till I get back. I'm coming, and I want her to come with me. That's the family God set up. Men, you ought to be the spiritual leader of your house, and God will bless you for it. And so we see it here. Watch now. So that the servant came, we're running out of time, and he showed him, Lord, these things. He showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring in, who are we going to bring in, Lord? He said, I want you to bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. How many of you are going to be left out because you would not allow God to be that one that put his hand on your life and you obeyed? He bids you to the supper. God's calling some of you today. He's bidding you to the supper and you won't come. He wants you to come. He's called you to come. He's desired you to come. Bless God, we ought to come and surrender all to him. Remember what happened here? He shut to the door. God shut Noah in. And some of you will miss the call of God, not because God's will is not to save you. You're going to miss it Why did Jesus say, strive to enter in? For I say unto you that many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That is because of one reason. They were not able. They refused the call of God. They all with one consent made excuse. You, sir, don't want to be the excuse maker. You don't want to be the one that misses eternity because you made excuses. Father, give us grace over this today. Strive to enter into the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Father, I pray that every heart, God, would be after you today, that, Lord, they'd love you. Oh, they'd surrender to you. Save that one that's lost. Save the one nearest hell. We'll give you praise for it. Father, do it today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.